Chapter 2. Flight of Icarus. Iron Maiden, 1983. Do you ever feel like you're losing your mind? Chrissy's question echoes back and forth through Eddie's head, like Led Zeppelin reverb. Like Phil fucking Collins, Eddie heard her words in the air tonight, over and over, as he drove her from the gym parking lot to his place. Again and again, as she miraculously, mystifyingly, swishes her way into the trailer, and he shuts the door behind her. From the note she'd left in his locker, green ballpoint pen on slightly pink notebook paper, torn at an angle like she was in a hurry, lowercase eyes dotted with little hearts. To the moment her eyes, were they really that blue? Or did the eyeshadow make them more vibrant? Lit up when she remembered the name of his band. She remembered. Of course she remembered. Why did she remember? To the look on her face when she asked if he had anything stronger than weed. Yeah, Eddie feels like he's losing his mind. But why is Chrissy losing hers? She'd been twitchy as they drove to his place. Sure, she'd been twitchy when they met at the picnic table in the woods, but between the jumping at shadows and the dark circles under her eyes, Eddie figured out pretty quick that this wasn't just the jitters that come free with every "my first drug deal" Barbie set. He tried to calm her down. He made her smile, got her laughing. Her front teeth were big, like a rabbit or a mouse, and she almost snorted when she giggled. She'd remembered his band's name. That was weird. Eddie knows that he has, like, a persona. He's always performing, at least a little. But there were a few seconds there in the woods, across the table from Chrissy fucking Cunningham, where his face hadn't felt like a mask. It was weird. Nice weird. Good weird. She made him feel whatever. His idle little nothingy crush on Chrissy isn't the issue. Something real is up with the Queen of Hawkins High, and Eddie wanted to know what the fuck it is. He's aware that this isn't a D&D campaign, duh, but Chrissy Cunningham is a classic hook for a quest. A beautiful princess, a goddamn damsel in distress, coming to the adventurer for aid? Hell, she'd practically help me Obi-Wan Kenobi'd him. Eddie was her only hope, it seemed. But again, why? Her hope for what? He hadn't asked because it wasn't his business, and she was acting like a spooked horse in one of Wayne's cowboy flicks. Wasn't there something about a gift and a horse and a mouth? Or, wait, should you look a gift horse in the mouth? Eddie doesn't fucking know. All he knows is that Chrissy... A dog barks outside. Chrissy jumps. The motion makes her ponytail bounce. Eddie raises a hand to touch her arm in some weird attempt at soothing her, but thinks better of it just before his fingertips can brush the fluff of her sweater. Yeah, you made her laugh. Yeah, she remembered you from middle school. No, none of that makes touching her okay. He maneuvers around her, heading back to his room. The trailer looks like shit, of course. Why had he offered to bring her back here? He never brings anyone home. She was just so enchanting. And she needed help. His help. Well, his drugs. But, hey, Eddie takes what he can get, you know? And he wanted a little more time in her light, so here she is, standing in his shithole trailer, fiddling with the cuff of her big white sweater. Shit. Sorry for the mess, Eddie says, snatching a beer can lying on a counter and tossing it into the trash. The maid took the week off. She wavers, shifting her weight. You live here alone? He doesn't look back at her when she speaks, even though he wants to. She works so hard to make herself small, cheerleading routines aside, but there's something magical about her. It makes him want to lean in to let his eyes drag. He briefly considers that it's kind of fucked up to think about that when she's obviously freaked out and desperate. And she has to be desperate to even be here, so. With my uncle, he answers. But, he works nights at the plant. He snatches up a box, checking to see what's in it because where did he leave the ketamine? It's not like he has much hard shit, so where did it go? Bringing home the big bucks. He's glad Wayne didn't leave the radio in the living room on. Sometimes Eddie comes home to Merle Haggard whining on about how Mama tried, and while Eddie loves Wayne and they can both fuck with Johnny Cash, Chrissy's voice is different when she cuts through his racing thoughts. How long does it take? Sorry? He glances back at her. She's doing the thing where she tries to become invisible, shrinking in on herself as she bowls her fists in the sleeves of her sweater. Eddie hates it. She hadn't tried to hide in the woods. It was like light shone from her smile then, once he loosened her up and got her laughing. "This Special K," she clarifies. "How long to kick in?" "Oh," Eddie says, opening a cupboard to search, as he tries to think about something other than the way her nose wrinkled when she giggled. Well, it depends if you snorted or not." He wonders if she's ever snorted anything. She doesn't seem the type. Some of the cheerleaders are a little crazy, though. "Jenna," he remembers. "Chrissy was friends with Jenna back before she graduated. But Jenna even only ever wanted weed." His hands find what they're looking for as Eddie pulls his brain back into his head and his head out of the cupboard. "If you do, then... yeah, it'll, kick in pretty quick." Cracking open the tin in his hands, his face falls. "Ugh, shit." Chrissy takes a step forward. "You sure you have it?" She sounds newly nervous, and Eddie really hates that. There are a few moments there at the picnic table when that magical sunshine smile broke through the clouds of her worry. They were really, really nice moments. They made Eddie want. Doesn't matter. What matters is what she wants. And what she wants is ketamine. Which Eddie definitely does have. No, I got it," he assures her. Chrissy's face is stricken when she glances up. He adds, scanning the room. "Why is this such a goddamn mess? Fuck! Somewhere." He leaves her standing by the couch and jogs back into his room. Crossing the threshold, Eddie spots the love of his life right where he'd left her. "Sorry I'm late, sweetheart." He grabs his guitar and strums her with a kiss. "You're beautiful." Which, of course, reminds him of the beautiful cheerleader standing in his living room. He'd been serious when he'd invited her to come see them play at the hideout. Wouldn't that be a kick if Chrissy showed up? He doesn't think it'll happen, but Eddie's used to living on daydreams and fantasies. He doesn't get much else from the world. He drops to his knees and pulls a box from a shelf. "Ketamine," he thinks, as if thinking it could summon the right tin to his hands. Ketamine. Chrissy Cunningham wants ketamine. She's not an actual spooked horse, so why the fuck does Chrissy Cunningham want ketamine? Ketamine wasn't Eddie's thing, but he wouldn't give Chrissy shit for it. Something was going on with her, and she clearly needed help. He wonders if he should offer her antidepressants or something, because Special K is pretty hardcore. Maybe he can just smoke her up after all. Not that he's judging her for wanting the hard stuff, of course. He's just confused. And he's confused about a lot of things. The purpose of organized education. Why Wayne's still putting up with him. What the fuck he's going to do if he actually graduates. But today, most of his confusion centers on Chrissy. There's a rustle down the hall. Chrissy moving? And he throws the box over his shoulder because the ketamine isn't there. Nope, but it might be. He snatches up the old toolbox on the floor and snaps the lid open. Gotcha! He stands and strides out of his bedroom. Found it, he calls. Peaceful bliss just moments away. He's got a few nice joints in his pocket, and he really does think he'll try to get her to just smoke those rather than going straight to the Special K, because she clearly needs something to help. Chrissy's need for help becomes significantly more immediate when Eddie looks up from the packet containing the ketamine. She's standing stock still in the center of his living room, like a block of wood or a living corpse. Do you ever feel like you're losing your mind? She'd asked. Shit. Chrissy? Eddie asks, hoping she's just, like, having a moment or something. The cheerleader gives no response, so he repeats himself, waving a hand as his heart starts to speed up. Hello? Chrissy? Eddie darts forward, trying to startle her out of whatever is going on, but if she sees him, there are no outward signs. Her eyes flutter open and shut in a creepy horror film way. Eddie usually likes horror films, but he fucking hates this. Her eyeballs have gone a weird, glassy, unseeing white. They're so unlike her eyes, the ones that had shined at him, wonder-wide and laughing in the woods, that Eddie's skin crawls. Hey, Chrissy, wake up, he tries, snapping his fingers before her face. Hey, hello? Nothing. Chrissy, hello? The lights start to flicker. More horror film shit. A buzzing electric whine jitters and scratches around Eddie's head, casting ominous shadows and flares bouncing around the trailer. The hair on the back of Eddie's neck prickles, and he smells something sharp and oily that he can't quite identify. Chrissy doesn't react to the power surge? Whatever. She doesn't react at all. Eddie makes a decision. No more Mr. Nice Guy. He is now officially freaking out, so touching rules be damned. He reaches down to grab Chrissy's shoulders and give her a solid shake. Time to wake up. Can you hear me? Nothing. Jesus Christ. His brain won't shut up. Is this a seizure? Is Chrissy epileptic? Can you be an epileptic cheerleader? Wake up, Chrissy. He shakes her harder, and he is really losing it now. He can feel the terror in his body, the kick of his heart, the spike of his pulse. Chrissy, wake up. I don't like this. Chrissy, wake up. Chrissy. But then his hands are rising because Chrissy is rising? Eddie looks down. The toes of her white sneakers are a full 4, 5, 6 inches from the floor. Her weird Hammer movie eyes are level with Eddie's, and then she's past him. Eddie snatches his hands away and stumbles back, panting. His flailing limbs knock Wayne's radio off the counter, but he barely registers the radio clicking on and audio static resolving into a jagged, half-familiar melody. For once, music doesn't matter to Eddie, because none of this can possibly be happening. This is his living room, not fucking Close Encounters of the Third Kind. But it is real. Chrissy Cunningham is levitating in his trailer. Oh, fuck. Eddie is moving without thinking as, oh, fuck, an electric guitar squeals and Prince, oh, fuck, the last thing he's going to hear is Prince tells Eddie that there's no need to worry, no need to cry, and isn't that a fucking joke? Eddie was right when he told the Hellfire Kids that there's no shame in running, which is why he takes a running leap to grab for the floating cheerleader in his living room. He's no Conan the Barbarian, and he is definitely no Terminator, but Eddie does okay in gym class. He can do the rope climb no problem. He likes to think he's stronger than he looks. Chrissy is a little wisp of a thing, short and willowy. So, logically, if logic exists anymore, he should be able to pull her down like a party balloon. Except he can't. When he grabs her legs, Chrissy flies up like he cut the cord on a catapult. Eddie loses his grip on her, falling hard on his ass and clattering backward. He hits the radio and his hand fucking hurts. Somehow, Prince gets louder, but it's all background noise to the horror before him. Chrissy is spread-eagled on the ceiling, pinned like the time the wrestling team duct-taped a freshman to the bathroom door. Eddie, Gareth, and Jeff had torn the kid down, but now it's just Eddie alone, and he thinks he's going to piss himself, and he thinks he's going to die, and he thinks that Chrissy might already be dead, and holy shit, holy shit! Chrissy! He shouts again, desperate. Still nothing. Just the flickering, sizzling lights, Eddie's panicked heartbeat slamming in time with his ragged breaths, and Prince and his revolution singing about how he will die for you, which feels too fucking close to reality. Chrissy's arm shoots out to the side, her fingers flexing weirdly. With a sick, awful crack, it bends the wrong way, fingers snapping. And then the lights all cut out, and the music stops, and